Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf nun vav. But before we start the Gemara, you'll remember that yesterday I told over the story that I had in my youth with Rav Rif Zatzal. When I came back from yeshiva, and he asked me about a toisus that has three different types of tashlumin, the gabi idius, etc. And everybody asked, but where is that? Where are those four toisus? You remember I told you the three toisus in are Oymer Rabbeinatam, Oymer Rabbeinatam, Oymer Rabbeinatam. The fourth one was Margila, the Pumei de Rabbeinatam. Okay, so then he asked me where those toisus are. So we did a little bit of research, and Baruch Hashem, we found the four toisus. First one is here in Masechtas Ksubas, not on our daf. We have to go ahead to daf Pei Vav Amid Aleph. Which toisus in daf Pei Vav Amid Aleph? It's the toisus, a short toisus, Lebal Choyv, Misalkin Alei Bezuzi. It's a toisus in the middle of the Amud, Pei Vav, 86a, middle of the Amud, with the Gemara says, Lebal Choyv, Misalkin Alei Bezuzi. You don't have it?
Shut up.
Okay, I have an extra Gemara here for you. Look where in the tissue is paper.
A Yiddish Gemara.
Oh. So, what does it say? Oymer Rabbeinu Tam. The Gimel Dinen Chalukin L'Malva U'L'Nizik U'L'Sochir. The three separate halachas. One for a Malva. Malva, of course, if there is a loan. Rabbi, please put yourself on mute. Please put yourself on mute. So that's Malva. Then you have a Nizik. Nizik is someone who is damaged. Uda Sakhir, someone who happens to be your worker. What are the three different Chalukim? The Baal Choyv. Islay Zuzi, Le Motzilis Luki Biara. If you have a Baal Choyv, in other words, you owe money to somebody and you have cash, you have to give him cash. You cannot give him anything else. Le Motzilis Luki Biara. The Nizik are for the Islay Zuzi, even if he has money, the Nizik, the Salik Libara, he can go and give him even Karka. It's true, I have cash, but we're talking about a Mazik in this situation, I can pay you with Karka because it says in the Pasik, Meitav Sadeu or Meitav Karmo Yishalim, so you can even pay him from real estate. Ubisokir are for the Leslay Zuzi, Amrin and Lay, Zil Trach, Vizovin, the IC Zuzi. Somebody who's your worker, I don't have any cash. Okay, you know what? Instead, I'm going to give you a piece of real estate. No, I don't want a piece of real estate. I worked for you. I want my cash. So therefore, you have the three different types of tashlum. By the Baal Choyv, if he has cash, you can't give him ara. However, if he has no cash, you can go and give him real estate. That's a Baal Choyv. Nizik even lechatchil, even if you have cash, you can give him real estate. Beit of Sadeh. When it comes to Sakhir, if you have no cash, then you yourself have to liquidate your real estate or your stocks or whatever to produce the cash.
Do you have to liquidate it, or the sucker is,
you yourself, the one that owes the master, that owns.
So ultimately you have to give him cash. You have to give him cash. I mean,
yeah, but there's a difference between the case of the Baal Choyv and by the sucker.
Right.
Both, in all three cases, you can give cash.
Right.
When it comes, however, to the Baal Choyv, if you have cash, you cannot give anything else. It must be cash. I don't have any cash. What am I supposed to do? Then you can give him a piece of real estate. You yourself don't have to liquidate the real estate. You give him a piece of real estate, which has been appraised by the American Appraisal Society of Greater America. It's worth $100. You give him, that's the payment for the Baal Choyv. If you have cash, you got to give cash. If you don't have cash, you can give real estate. By the Sochir, if you have no cash, you yourself have to liquidate the real estate and produce the cash and give it to him. Gabi Nizik, even if you have cash, you could say, I don't want to give you cash, I need it for myself. And you give him the mate. Today you give him the mate.
So the Sakhir and the Bachov seem to be the same thing.
Okay, so let's go over it again.
No, just the Sakhir and the Bachov.
They're not the same. They're totally different.
Because
both of them, if you have money, you have to give money.
Right.
What happens? I don't have any money. I have no cash. Okay. I do have a piece of real estate. Fine. If it happens to be the Bachov, Mr. Bachov, here's the real estate, you take it, it's appraised for $100, it's yours. If by the Sakhir, if I have the real estate, I can't give him the real estate. I myself have to sell the real estate, liquidate it,
give the cash. Thank you for that, Akuda. Thank you.
Okay, so those are the three different, and that's Oymer Rabbeinu Tam. Okay?
What is Sakhir exactly?
A Sakhir is a person that you hire as your employee and who works for you. Okay? Then we get to Bava Kama on Daf Tes, where we have a toisus there, Rav Huna Omar, a case of Oymetav, again, Voshteta. Rabbeinu Tam Einus Soibike, the Mefarish, Yech Gimel Dina Minisokin, Oy Kesef, Oy Meitav, Yisle Afil Subin, that's Lagabe Nizokin. O Balchoy, Yisle Zuzi, Loy Motzil Salke Elebiz Zuzi, if he has money, he has to go and give him the cash. V. Lesle Zuzi. Zil Trach Vizadin, Vaisi Zuzi. No, he doesn't have to bring cash, he can go and give him a piece of real estate. However, if you have a case of a Sochir, Sochir then, if he doesn't have Zuzi, then Omrinan Le Zil Trach Vizadin. You have to go and liquidate, and you bring the cash. It's not the Sochir's headache, it's your headache. That's Toysis, Daftes, in Bava Kama. You have Rabbeinu Tam. And then you have another Toysis in Bava Kama. Daf Nem Vov Omid Beis. Hochi Gar Sinan. What should they do in the Toysis? If you're in Rabbeinu Tam, she is Gimel Dinam Lebal Choyv, Lenezok Lesocher. Bal Choyv is Le Zuzi, Le Mutzi, Le Sluki, Bishar Mili. V. Les Le Zuzi. Le Mutzi Omele Zil Trach Vizoven Vaisi Zuzi. You don't go and tell the Bal Choyv that the borrower, you have to go and bring Zuzi, you don't have Zuzi. Go and give a piece of property. However, Mashenkin, if you're talking about a Nizik, then he can give Lechatchila, he can give him, even Islei Zuzi, he can go and give him Meitav. And finally, a Sachar, if a Leslei Zuzi, Amrin Leizil, Trach, V'Aisi Zuzi. So that's the third, I'm Rebbeinu Tam. And then we get to the final, in Baba Basar of Dav Tzadik Beis, Amid Beis, Dibra Maschu, Oi, what is it? Oh, Margala Bapume de Rabbeinu Tam. The Gimel Dinam Yesh Babal Choyv. Yesh Gimel Dinam Yesh Babal Choyv. Yes, Le Zuzi. Le Motzi Basalik Le El Bezuzi. Babal Choyv. You got to give him cash. V. Lesle, if he doesn't have cash. Le Amrin Le Zil Trach Baisi Zuzi. We don't go and say to the borrower, oh, no, you got to go and bring Zuzi. But rather, he can go and give him real estate instead. Even if he has Zuzi, the boy, the you can go and give him other property. He doesn't have to go and give him cash. If he doesn't have cash, you gotta go and bring the cash. Anyway, so we have three separate dinim. Three times it's Oim Rabbeinu Tam, Oim Rabbeinu Tam, Oim Rabbeinu Tam. The fourth time is Margala Bapume de Rabbeinu Tam.
Fourth time also calls him a poel instead of a sachir.
Right. Okay. That apparently, those two terms apparently are considered to be synonymous. Right. Interchange.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome. Okay. So.
So you cannot give him the ketubah, or you do?
In none of those cases we're talking about ketubah, because ketubah you give to a wife, you don't give to a bal choyv, and you don't give it to a sachir unless she's working for you.
Then, or she's a nizik.
If you're paying the ketubah, has to be with cash, or it could be with karka?
It's cash, and if you don't have cash, you give ziburius. Ziburius means even from inferior property, as long as it has the value of 100 or the 200. Anyway, on to our Gemara, and we are now on the fourth line of Nun Vav Amid Aleph. Yosef Rav Chanina Kami, we already said that. Up to Boi Rovin. We're down six, 7 lines before the wide lines. There's two dots there, Boi Rovin. Now we're continuing to talk about the din of Reb Lozer ben Azariah. Who is Reb Lozer ben Azariah? We go back to the Mishnah on Nun Dalid Amid Beis. It said in the Mishnah, what happens if someone gave a ksuva to his arusa, remember, his betrothed wife, it's not a full-fledged consummated wife, it's just the betrothed, and he gave a ksuba, and then unfortunately, before he had a chance to consummate the marriage, nebach nis'arm lo oy nis'garsha, means the husband either died, or gave her a get. So the Tanakhama in the Mishnah says, okay, every time a person dies, or gives a get, he has to go give a ksuba, and that ksuba, whatever it says in the ksuba. So if the ksuba has not only the 200 zuz for the psula, but it also added another $1,000 or $1,000,000, you hand it over, because that's what it said in the ksuba. The Blaz Ben Asai says, no. If he died, or if he gave a get post nisuin, where it was a fully baked, fully consummated marriage, because it's a kohen, then she gets everything. But if it was only erusin, then psula gets 200, almani gets 100, and the rest, whatever Tosefos he added the ksuba, he does not have to give. Why? Because the reason why he put the extra Tosefos in the first place was almanas l'koyntza. It was with the intention of eventually consummating this marriage. Just having an erisin alone, that's a very, very weak marriage. They live in two different locations. There's very little interaction between the two. Marriage, of course, is when you live together in one home and you build a home and all the rest. So therefore, his intention in writing the ksuba with this major tosefes was almanas lekoinsa, was for that major moment when they are finally going to have chuppah and nisuin, etc. And therefore, if that never occurred, you only have to give the manu masayim, you don't have to give the tosefes. That's what we learned in Mishnah, and you remember we said yesterday we paskin like Rav Lozer ben Azariah. So boy Rabin, nichlas el chuppah vay nivala mahu. So Rabin asks a very simple question. We typically distinguish between erisin and nisuin, but even in nisuin itself, you can make distinctions. What distinction can you make? We normally think of nisuin being post the first bia between the husband and wife. True, but what happens if you had chuppah and there was no bia yet? In other words, like we have today, that after the chuppah is over, they go into the chedi yichud for a few minutes and then they have to come out quickly because photographers have to take all the pictures. Anyway, that's already chuppah. That's already nisuin. We're done. They're now, it's a fully baked marriage. Not only erisin, they're now nosui and nisuin. Fine. Clearly, after that point, if and when Chulil, he were to die at the mat, the chasana, he drank too much or whatever it was, he danced too much, or he wasn't happy, he gave her a get on the spot at the marriage, never chachmon of fun. Were that to occur, everybody would agree you have to go and give the full ksuba with the additional tesefes. But here we're talking about that after the chuppah, there was no bia yet, and then loy oleinu, he passed away, or he gave her a get. So now, it's much more than erisin, but it's not a fully baked nisuin. So mahu, what would Rav Lozer Zayah hold in that case? Chibas chuppah koina, or chibas bia koina. The lashon of the Mishnah is a little bit vague. It just says the reason why he added the tosefes almanas lekoinsa. So what means the koinsa? Does koinsa mean that they are intimate, that they have relations, that they have bia? Almanas lekoinsa means no. That now it's full nisuin, that they are officially now Mr. and Mrs. or Dr. and Mrs. or Rabbi and Mrs. because now they have the chuppah and it's already nisuin. So the question is that already enough according to Rav Lozer ben Azariah to allow for full payment, or do you only give the mana or masai? So what do these words mean? Amanas lekoinsa. Says amanas lekoinsa means chibas chuppah koina, the endearment which is engendered by the chuppah, that now they went under the chuppah together and now went to the Chedi Yichud together. Now, that is that moment he was waiting for, and therefore he has to pay the full tesefes. Or is a chibas bia koina? When he meant amanas lekoinsa, he didn't just mean the outside formalities of the chuppah, he meant that there was bia. Toshima, the Tanya of Yosef, Shleikosavla el al chibas laila harishon. Yosef had another braisa where it says that the reason why Rav Lozer ben Azariah holds that you only give mana masayim by erisin is because he only intended the tesefes for the chibas laila harishon. That this too, of course, is a vague term. What means chibas laila harishon? If you're telling me that what Rav Lozer ben Azariah meant was that endearment which is engendered by chuppah, then I understand why he says it's the first night. That means the first night they had chasana late afternoon, evening, during the night. That was the chibas chuppah koina, even though there was no bia. That's what the kavana of Rav Lozer ben Azariah was. Eliyama's chibas bia koina, bia belayla rishay isa mikan ve'ela lesa. Is there only bia the first night, on the night right after the marriage? Now, left unsaid in our Gemara is that, of course, we go typically after the chasen is over. We know what typically happens after that. But, for instance, Gemara is going to give us an example in a couple of lines. What happens if she was poyres nida? That, unfortunately, she got a period. And they cannot, unfortunately, go and have intimate relations that night. So they're going to have it a few days later, a week later, whatever it is, until she can go to the mikvah. So, what are you going to tell me about that? He's not interested in that too. So that the bia doesn't have to necessarily be the laila rishon. The bia might only occur a night later or a week later or whenever it happens to be when she's able to go to the mikvah and she'll be able to unite with her husband. So the lashon therefore of the chibas laila harishon, says of Yosef, sounds like to me we're talking about the chuppah. that the chuppah took place on the first night, and that's why he's so happy, and that's why he's willing to now transfer not only the manu masayim, but even the tosefes, if chas v'shalom he were to pass away, or to go and give a get. But those words wouldn't be appropriate chibas laila rishon if you talk about bia, because bia might not be on the laila rishon. It might be the next night, it might be a week later, whatever. So that's the raya v'rbias. Freiti mar, let me ask you, Belamai, chuppah, you're telling me, like you just said now, that laila rishon means the chibas chuppah, chuppah b'laila yisabi mamalesa. What does it have to do with night? After all, people very often get married in the afternoon, and therefore the chuppah took place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon. It doesn't have to be that it took place at night. So if you're talking about the reference chibas chuppah, the words of the kosebla el chibas laila harishai, we're talking about the chuppah, those words would seem to be inappropriate. It's not blam dafka laila. So the Gemara v'latamach, let me ask you back. And what are you telling me? The chibas laila harishai is referring to bia. Bia b'laila isim imam malesa. Can one only perform bia at night and not during the day? But Omer Rava, didn't Rava say, if it happens to be totally dark inside the home, these are thick shutters, and even though it's during the day, if it's totally dark, it's mutter even during the day. So therefore, the lashon of chibas laila rishon, the chayra would not be appropriate for bia either. So don't ask me, Akasha, it's not appropriate for chuppah, because chuppah can be during the day. Bia can also be during the day. So he said, now, holy kashik, that you're already nitpicking. Why? Because oirach ara kamashula, the bia b'layla. After all, even though you could theoretically have bia during the day, that's not a lechatchila, that's a b'dievet. Lechatchila, a bia is supposed to take place at night. And that being the case, if we're telling us the oirach ara, the normal derech eretz, the normal way of the world, the normal way of the world is, achibas laila rishon, the choira, a euphemistic term, referring to bia at night. But I still don't understand chuppah, because chuppah doesn't have to be during the night, chuppah can be during the day. Why would we refer to it as chibas laila harishai? So you want to know, chuppah nami loy kasha, that's also nishveh. Kimin distam chuppah lebiya kaima, oyrech ara kamashvalan, dibalaila. What the Gemara is saying is that just like bia typically takes place at night, even though it's permissible to have it during the day, since the inyan of the chuppah is just a last stage preparation prior to the bia, that also typically took place at night. Of course, today things may be a little different, because between the chuppah and the eventual bia, you have a lengthy chasana with 3 dances and the photographers and the music and the whole kit and caboodle. But years ago, presumably, it was a much more reserved type of affair, and that shortly after the chuppah was the bia. And that being the case, so then the reference to the chibas laila rishon would be appropriate for both of them, because both of them typically would take place at night. The only thing is, like the Gemara said before, the bia doesn't have to be laila rishon. The chuppah has to be the laila rishon, because whenever they have the chuppah, that's the first night. But the bia could theoretically be the next night, or a few days later. So bottom line is, we seem to have a shtickle raya, says Rav Yosef, that when Rav Loza ben Azari was referring to almanas l'koyim, so he meant tak the chibas chuppah, and not the chibas bia. Based on that, now ask the Gemara, boy Rav Ashi, nichlasu l'chuppah, upirsa nidamau, what we were speaking about a moment ago. What happens? She taka goes to chuppah, and unfortunately she became a nida. What's the halacha now? Imtim tzaloima, if you taka going to be poishet like we seem to be poishet from that price, the chibas chuppah koina, does it have to be chuppah de chazi labia? Does it have to be a chuppah where at the time of the chuppah it was roi labia? Av chuppah de chazi labia loy. Maybe there's only a chibas chuppah if it's a chuppah that leads to a subsequent bia, subsequent, not a few days later, but subsequent bia pretty quickly, pretty shortly, or promptly thereafter, after the chuppah. Masha'ekein, if the chuppah wasn't roi labia in the first place, maybe there is no chibas chuppah. And maybe even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree. No, we still got to wait to see. In other words, if the chuppah was royal labia, even if they didn't have a bia until a night later, he wasn't feeling well, she wasn't feeling well, they had the sniffles, they had a stomach ache, whatever it was, but the chuppah was royal labia, then for sure, according to the way Gemara was poshut, we have the chibas laila rishon of the chuppah. However, if you're talking about a chuppah which is not roi lebia, then the whole chuppah is undermined by the fact that it cannot lead to an a prompt bia thereafter. So maybe even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would continue to hold that we only give the manu masayim, we don't give the full pesach.
Yeah,
very good. All right, the Malaysian, maybe it makes no difference. Chuppah is chuppah. Baruch Hashem, they got through the chuppah, and he's very happy, and everybody's celebrating, and they're dancing, and it's great. Maybe that's already enough. And the Gemara says, Teiku Tishbi Yitat. When was she Parsanida? Was she Parsanida before, or Parsanida afterward? From the Lashon HaGemara, after the chuppah. In other words, the chuppah is over, they come to Chet Yichud, and the Kala says to the Chassan, I got bad news for you. Unfortunately, I just saw some blood. We're going to have to be Purdish for several days. That's how Rashi seems to learn. If that's the Pshat in the Gemara, is a bissel lishver, because if you're talking about it at the time of the chuppah, everything itself was fine,
right.
It was only person need that thereafter, so then what's the Shaila? Then Avada did Zachipas chuppah kaina. How is he supposed to know? He has a Mishka Novi. He didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. How is he supposed to know Shem Pirsim either? So as soon as the Chuppah took place, we already have the Chibas Chuppah. And that's why other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say that's talking about that he got the message that she was already Pirsim either pre-Chuppah. And even though they're going through with the Chuppah and all the formalities and the
format,
everything, Bakum, Mikol, Kolomit, the dancing, the Dalai, some of the Maisa, he knew already then that she was an either. And then that would make... that would be an easier pshat. Because Rashi says, he knows that this chuppah is not going to lead to a prompt bia thereafter. So the question is that still kind of a tachibas chuppah, or is he already kind of disappointed in this chuppah? And he says, okay, we're going to have to wait another week or 10 days or whatever until this is all cleared up. So that pshat would be easier than the pshat of the Rashi. The Chassam Soifa says, it's an ishver on the Rashi, because it could be talking about takat that it was chuppah, and she was piercing either right after the chuppah, but it was based on a vessel's kavua. Her vessel's kavua was going to be that night, and so therefore, even though she had not been piercing either until after the chuppah took place, but he knew that she's going to be piercing either because her vessel's kavua, as well as we have the hafloga of the Arzrua. The Arzrua says that already one oinah before the vessel's kavua, if you know that your wife is going to, in this case, the Kala, is going to see her regular period on Wednesday evening, so then it has to be Purdish already Wednesday during the day, and according to some, even 24 hours before, even the Tuesday night before. So even though literally the Gemara is saying this is a chuppah, and afterwards Pirsanida, but he knew about it from before, because he knew already her cycle, the best chuppah, and so therefore that already undermined, if you will, the Chibas chuppah, because he knew at that time it would be a chuppah, which is not Roi. Anyway, that's in the shikli. Yes, Ruvay.
Not so likely if she's just after 12. But then, they don't really know exactly when it's coming or going.
You're correct. A lot of our Masechta has been referring to a Nara, which is a 12-year-old. But here we're talking about anybody. It could be a girl who's 18, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45.
45 months.
Whatever. Okay.
If they know the cycle, why are they making the reservation?
The catering hall was available that night. They couldn't get it for another 3 months. All the weddings were postponed.
They got a steep discount.
Oh no! Like all the weddings were postponed because of COVID. You couldn't get a hall that year. So what could they do?
Exactly. It's what we call akasha from Asa. And we continue on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ratza Koisu Lepsula. Now, what is this all about? Okay. So we go back to the Mishnah. We really learned this a few days ago. The Gemara quotes now the Mishnah on Nun Zalan of the days. The rule is that when you give a ksuba to a psula, it has to be Mosayim, and a mana has to be a mana. That's the minimum. Mm-hmm. What happens if he's a poor guy, or he's a good negotiator, and he says to the Kala, I'm willing to go and marry you, but only on the condition that you agree that instead of 200, I'm only going to give you 100, or instead of 100, I'm only going to give you 50. Whether it's a good idea or bad idea is not the discussion. Now we're talking about the facts. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer in our Mishnah, back 6-7 lines into the Mishnah on Nun Dalet Amen Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imratza, what he can do is Koisid Vipsul Eshtar Shlom Asayim, he writes a star of 200, the he Koisabes, and she can write to him at the time of the Ksuba, the time of the Chuppah, is Kabalti Mimcha Mana, I already received from you a Mana. In other words, she gives him what we call a shoiver. A shoiver is a receipt. Now, the truth of the matter is, she did not receive the 100. But this is just intended to be a waiver, where she says, I am moichel, I waive the right to 200, I'm willing to accept 100. So if and when, chas v'sholom, either you pass away, chas, or you give me a get, you already have the shoiver that you received. I already received half of the payment, you only have to pay me the other half. With almana mana, the same thing applies to almana. Instead of giving the full mana, he writes taka ksub of mana because he says about the chachamishim. So I give you
a word that's untruthful.
Yeah, it's a sheker. I receive.
Why not say I waive?
Tzaddik, we're not recommending this. We're saying that if she were to do that, it would be acceptable according to you. I see that you're quite upset about it, and the mayor says, if you try to adjust those figures in any way, shape, or form, it's not holy matrimony. So you have good company, you're with Remei. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if you go and write such a shoiver, it works. Okay? Frank Dimar, the sub of Yehuda, the Koyser Shoiver, the Yehuda holds that you can go and give a shoiver, you can go and give a receipt. But now we have a Mishnah. Misha Parah Mikzas Choivoi. What happens if you have a Malva and a Loiva? Malva lent money to the Loiva, and the Loiva paid off half of the Choiva. Let's make it easy. The Choiva was 200, and the Loiva already paid 100. But what do you do now for the future when you have to pay another 100?
To record it.
If you do Oimer, Yachlet. You know what you should do? Go and take the old shtar that says in it 200, tear it up, and write a new shtar for 100, because after all, he already paid 100. Rabbi Yosef, I'm going to give a shayva. Go and give a shayva. Go and give a receipt.
He's giving up all the time that he had.
We'll talk about that in a moment. Yeah. What's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say give a receipt? Wouldn't that be the intelligent thing to do? He gave 200, hand over a receipt. Why is he saying take the old shtar and tear it up? And the answer is because they were concerned in those days about achbarim. Achbarim are mice and rats. And what would those achbarim do?
Eat.
They typically would nibble at those. It wasn't like modern day paper. It was some sort of papyrus or something written on
parchment
and or written on some large salad that they give now to fancy chasanas as your first course. So they would write it on those types of materials, and the achbarim, if they were desperate, they would eat it, you know.
They would separate Torah also. That's why Truma was not stored with
sifters
with Tami Yadayim.
Very good. So you see from that the mice would do that, and we are concerned now. Anytime you have a Baal Choyv, you have a Malv and a Loiv. The Malv has been very generous. He's given the loan of 200. The Loiv is paid 100. So what do we do now? We give the Loiv a Shoiv. The Malv gives the Loiv a Shoiv that you pay me $100. The Loiv is typically a Nebuch. After all, he's the one that's borrowing the money. He doesn't have enough funds. And now you tell me he has to worry about a Shoiv. How am I going to worry about a Shoiv? Where am I going to put it? What am I going to do? Guess what? By the time he has to pay the second installment of the other 100, he can't find the shoifer. And the Malva says, well, I don't know, I have my shtar here, it says 200. I don't remember that you paid me, you know. Where's your proof? Well, so by forcing him to have a shoifer, you're putting on an undue burden on the shoifer.
Why would modify the shtar, right? As of this date, the bottom, as of this date, this
is... Be with us another minute or two. Okay. The Gemara is going to come up with all of your very, very good strategic advice and suggestions. So the Gemara is asking now a steer. In our Mishnah, we said Rabbi Yehuda holds the Kala can give to the Chosin a Shoiver, and the Chosin is going to put it away among his documents and all the rest. If Chas v'Shalom, he passes away, or he gives a gift, then the estate will find, the guardians will find, he'll find that shoiver, he'll only have to pay 100. The same Rabbi Yehuda says in the case of Baal Chayv, don't give a shoiver, but rather take the old document and tear it up and give a brand new document. Is the chassid Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yirmiyah, kishev rasa mitoicha. What does that mean? The exact suggestion that Barry gave a moment ago, that on the bottom of the
original note,
on the bottom of the original ksuva, which says in it that I, the chassan, owe you 200 if chas v'shalom this marriage dissolves, underneath the chasimus ha'edim, underneath that they added, says the kala, by the way, I already received 100 of the foregoing 200, and she signs, and therefore you don't have to worry about that the chassan has to now hold on to a shayver. She, who wants to go and collect on her shtar, she has to now, on her ksuva, she has to hold on to the ksuva anyway, so the shayva will be imprinted, written on the same ksuva, so you don't have to worry about a shayva. So l'choyah, Rabbi Yehuda would agree the same thing regarding the case of the choyv. Apparently, in the case of the shtar choyv, there wasn't enough room on the page to go and add shivrasa mitachta, because otherwise Rabbi Yehuda would say, yeah, that's a great idea. Write the shayva on that document itself, and therefore the malva, when he produces the note a month from now, or 3 months from now, and saying, hey, you got to pay me my halva, then the lawyer would say, but notice it says on the bottom, this is partially paid. L'choyah, that would work. Why Rabbi Yehuda said Yachil? Apparently, there wasn't enough room on the bottom of the shah. But here there was enough room, so Shibrasa Mitoich. So that Lechoy is a good text. And by Amar Afilu Teimim Mishain Shibrasa Mitoich, even if you're talking about that you could not and you did not write the Shoiver Mitoich, there's a major difference between the Shoiver in our case and the Shoiver in the other case. Rishloi Mahasam Vadi Pare, Tilma Mirchas Taverta, the Mafik Le Lishtara of Hadagavis in Nachrit. In the case of a Balchoy, the Chachamim were concerned about a person having the burden of retaining the shoiver, and the shoiver might get lost, it might get nibbled, it might get eaten up, tzitzan, tzuris. And therefore, you know what they said? They said is, don't write out a shoiver, because we don't want to put the burden on the loiver to hold on to the shoiver. He may not be able to find it, he won't have it, it's eaten up, nibbled, you know what we should do? Go and take up the original shtar and tear it, and write out a new shtar. What's the basis of that? Why are we doing that? To do a toiva for the loiva. After all, he paid $100 fairly and squarely, he paid off 50, so we do a special takana for him, that we go and tear up the original shtar instead of having him have the burden of holding on to a shayva. A bahacha is not Dilma Mirchas Taveret. Sorry, Bishlei Mahasim. Mahasim means in the case of the note. Vadi Pare, it was a for sure. Vadi means with certainty he paid half of the chayva. Dilma Mirchas Taveret. The word Taveret is like a word shayver. Maybe the shayver will get lost, will get eaten up or nibbled. Or mapically the shtara, and now the malhu will take out his original note. And he'll be able to go and collect twice. The Malva says, you know, I have many, many different transactions on an ongoing basis. He's a rich guy. He gives halvos to everybody in town. I don't remember Yoshev and Nishav. I don't remember you paid half. Twice. If you have a receipt, it's good. If you don't, I'm going to collect a second time. Therefore, the Chum had to make a takana. A bahacha, vade, yohevla. Are we talking about a situation where, in fact, the Chosin paid 50% of the Ksuba? He didn't pay a nickel. This is just a form of saying, I waive my rights to a full 200. I'm willing to live and to marry you based on 100. And so therefore, this is, of course, totally to his benefit. He didn't pay out a nickel, and he's getting a shoiver saying that you paid off half. Inatre. If he's able to go and hold it nicely in a vault somewhere, in a safe, and has a good shmir, it's good. Eloi, if he loses it, Eloi Natre, if he doesn't hold on to it, then he loses it, it gets nibbled, it gets eaten up. This is self-imposed. He himself is the only one to blame that he didn't do a good job in holding on to a shayva. So Gemara is answering a very, very simple answer. Where there's a legitimate partial payment, then the Chum were concerned that the loiva should have his receipt. Otherwise, he may have to pay twice. If he can't hold on to the receipt, because it might be taken away, it might be lost, okay, then go and switch the shtar. On the other hand, in this case, in Chusel Kala, where there was no real payment.
It was just a windfall, and it wasn't paid for.
A windfall. Yes, because of her waiver. Okay, if he holds on to the waiver and he puts it away nicely, it's good. And if he didn't, it's his own fault. He should have been more careful in watching his document.
I think Barry's idea was the best idea.
And that is?
Because tearing up the shtar, you have to pay to make a new shtar. I mean,
write it on the same
thing. Write on the same thing, and then you have the history there, and you see exactly the trail.
If there's room on the document, it wasn't standardized 8.5 by 11 paper.
All right, so you write on the back of the document. Yeah,
okay. In the Ashurim, they used to write it on a kli, cheretz.
Yeah, so we have over here.
This is papyrus, this is from Mitzrayim.
Not necessarily.
We don't have a shover. In the next edition of the Art Scroll, there are going to be pictures of the ksuba and how it was written, whether it was made out of cheres, made out of papyrus, made out of this. We have to wait for the next edition. At the moment, we don't have any pictures. So, the suggestions you're saying that what Barry said is correct, that's al pishnayim oishloi she'edem yakum davar. We have now three. We have Rabbi Yirmiya, she'shev rasa mitoicha, write the shoiver in the ksuba itself, so you don't have to worry about a second document. When the wife will want to go and collect on her ksuba, the shoiver will be in the document itself. That's what Barry suggested. That's a strategy which you firmly support. That's Rabbi Yirmiya. While Abai says, you don't have to say Shibras Mitech. I have another Eitzah too. The Chachamim only made a special takana, legabe, don't write a shoiver if the person bona fide was out of pocket. We don't want to put the burden on him to have to worry about a shoiver. However, in this case, where in fact it was a windfall, he didn't pay a penny. Okay, if you can hold on to the shoiver and you can put it in a good way, fine. If you are foolish enough to let it just wander around and you lose it, so you lost it. I understand why Abaye didn't want to learn like Rabbi. Like Tani Shabras Mitoicha. To go and say that the Shoiva was Mitoicha, it doesn't say anything. And our mission just says, Ratza Koysu Vipsul Amana, and to the Almana, you can go and say, Chamishim Zuz. It doesn't say anything about Mitoicha. It just says, Ratza Koysu Vipsul Ishtar. It doesn't sound like it was written in the same document, it sounds like an independent document. And the Rabbi might tell me, is a good point that I'm only concerned about a bona fide shoiver, not concerned about this shoiver which is just a windfall. Everything Gemara gzeira shoiver the hacha to shoiver the alma. After all, a receipt is a receipt is a receipt. If a bai is going to allow, according to Rabbi Yehuda, giving a shoiver in our Mishnah, a ksuba shoiver to the chasen, to the husband. So people say, oh, I remember I was at a chasen and they gave a shoiver. So now, in a different situation where there's a bona fide choiv, they'll also go and give a shoiver. What difference? Receipt, it's exactly the same form. I received and blah, 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 signed it with your name and the date, and etc. So the Gemara, we're afraid, this gzeira, you're going to switch the shoivers. Okay, now a new shtickle. Our Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda says, a koisvin shoiver, to rutz a koisvin vipsu. Time of the gospel, about that loy. Am I? Davishim Mammon, who was in the review to the Amma, Davishim Mammon tonight? What's the Mars Kasha? He wants to go and give her a ksuba of 200. Instead of writing out a separate shoiver, separate receipt, she says at the time of the writing of the chuppah, or under the chuppah, she says, she whispers to a chassid from under her veil, and she says to him, you know what? I'm Moichel the 100. You don't have to give me 200, I'm Moichel the 100. It sounds like, says the Gemara, because our Mishnah's Dafka talks about a Koisivla, that Koisivla, that works. But Balpeh would not work. Why wouldn't it work? So we have a concept called, you can't be Masna al Mashakosa Batayr. The Torah requires you to do A, B, and C. You can't go and play around with those requirements and say, no, you don't have to, you waive it. What do we mean? In the case of, we'll see in a moment, if a man goes and proposes to a woman, and they agree, and he says, Hariat Mekadeshesli, and he said, but on one tonight. The tonight is that I'm not going to supply you with She'era Ksusa V'Oina. The Torah says that every husband has to go and give a minimum of She'era Ksusa V'Oina. What's the definition of those three terms? We had a machloikus earlier on, a few blad ago, exactly what the terms mean, but the Poshib Shat is She'era means food, Ksus means clothing, and oina means tashmish, beer. So if he makes a tanai, she makes a tanai with him, that what? It's only on the condition that I don't have to pay you, I don't have to give you those three things, then we have a machloikis whether it works or not. Poshet's masna machakosin b'tayra, since the Torah requires every chosin to provide, every husband to provide share ksus oina to his wife, if he says it's on the condition they don't have to prepare, they don't have to supply that, then the marriage is off, or at least the tanai is off. Then if Yudah is going to go and say, it really depends. Are we talking about davishim b'mamayin, or we're talking about something which is not financial? When you're talking about davishim b'mamayin, you can be moichos, you can say, Baruch Hashem, I come from a wealthy family, you do not have to give me food, you don't have to give me clothes. However, what happens if he says, I don't want to give you tashmish, that's something that you can't be moichol on, because it's not financial, that's not a davishim b'mamayin. So that's what the Gemara now discusses. So getting back to our Gemara Nachmol. Yokti Gemara.
Wait.
Yes, I'm happy to wait.
It is financial. Didn't we discuss yesterday that if she denies him, he could subtract money off the ksuba?
Good point. That's what we would call a penalty or punitive damages. That is true. But we're now talking about his requirement to go and supply to her oina on a regular basis, that is not financial in nature. You're talking about if she is a meredes, she rebels against her husband, she says, stay away from me, you have to sleep in a separate bedroom, I'm not going to get close to you. Then we punish her every week by reducing it by 7 dinrim we had there in the Mishnah. And therefore that keeps on accumulating until it goes down to 0. But here we're talking about his requirement to give it to her, and the Torah doesn't give any monetary value of that. The Torah says he has to supply oina on a regular basis. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So look,
there's no penalty if he fails to...
The penalty is that she can take him to Bezin, presumably requiring him to give a get. Since our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said that he can go and write to her 200 and she writes back a shoifer of 100, sounds like you got to do something in writing. However, if it was Balpeh where he said to her, I don't want to give you 200, I'll only give you 100, I'll write out in the tzuvah 200, and then she whispers back, I'm asking for 100. Sounds like, oh, that wouldn't work. Am I? Why not? Because after all, this is a financial discussion, 200 and 100. And Yehuda holds that even though you're master master kosher of the Torah says you have to go and give kach kach, since it's a davishim mamoin, you can agree to a condition to waive that financial condition. The same like we have in the Brisa. A husband says to a wife, a chosen says to a kala, here's the ring, but only on the condition that you don't come to me for any of these three. Says the Brisa. The kedushin is chal, they're married. The whole tonight you can throw into the trash bin because it's mas al mash yekosin b'toira, and therefore the tonight is bach. Different. But if you do the aimer, it depends. Rabbi Shimon Mamon, it's a noy kayim. We're talking about Rabbi Shimon Mamon, the Tanai is Makoyim, and therefore, although the Gabi, the oina, that Tanai is bottle, he has to supply oina whether he likes it or not. But Rabbi Shimon Mamon, if she agrees, fine, I don't need the share, I don't need the ksus, Tanai works, no problem. So, Ibazoi, why does it say in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda requires Davka a sav and a shtar? Why could you even talk about this orally? Every mark of Rabbi Yehuda ksuba derabban. He holds that the din of giving ksuba is mederabban. The chachamim oschiz lebrayim yoyse b'shal taira, and the chachamim made their halacha even stronger than the taira. The Gemara uses this svara from time to time. The reason is because people typically, when it comes to derabban, they go, "Nah, it's only derabban. Yeah, derabban. You know, not the taira, derabban." Therefore, sometimes they had to go and make this Rabbanan super strong and invincible that people shouldn't say only Rabbanan. And therefore says the Gemara, because the din of Ksuba is Takan Rabbanan, and therefore people are going to trifle at it and say, okay, we can work out a deal for 100, for 50, for this, for that. Therefore they said, oh, you want to make a Tanai? Forget about it. You can stand on your head. The Tanai is going to be bottle, and you're going to have to pay the full 200. Therefore, having this done orally is not going to work. You have to have a ksav. That's the more sense. The obvious question is, how does the ksav help? Isn't the ksav also being masna al masha kosav? Not patoira, al masha kosav midrabbanan. And you're telling me that one also chizik the rei yosef b'shal taira. How can you go and write such a document?
It undermines the rei chizik that they're trying to fortify.
Exactly. So this is something that the Rishonim deal with at some length. And the lumdus is that when you're writing out a separate shtar, it doesn't undermine the first shtar. It's like the second shtar is like a separate shtar matana or shtar machila. The first shtar is totally intact, it's 200, and you got to go and pay the 200. It's a separate thing. She gave him a shtar that says, here, I give him matana, I waive of the 200, I waive 100.
The best proof is if it's lost, it's meaningless.
Oh, that's the gabi the shtar. However, if you're going and saying the tanai bal peh, that is undermining the very shtar that he's giving now. He says in the shtar 200, and he says to her, but I only want to give you 100. Okay, I'm asking only 100. Ah, so that's considered to be an undermining tonight, where he's masna al masha kosim rabbanon, and therefore they made a chizik yosef divrayim, and that type of tonight doesn't work. But if you have a ksav, that's a separate, these are two separate entities. This is a shtar ksuva, which is perfect from A to Z, or Aleph to Tav. This is a separate shtar matana, which she says, okay, here I give you back 100 of the 200. So that's not considered to be a being masa. It's not considered to be undermining, it's considered to be separate and parallel. So now that you've told me this svara, that anything which is not anything, but things which are midrabanan, also chizuk adreya, yoisim shal taira, Harry Peiris the rabbanan, the way of the rabbanan chizuk, we have the case of Peiris. Peiris means that if she brings into the marriage nechse mulug, which belonged to her, then the husband is allowed to go and eat the Peiris. And you remember we had earlier on our Masechta, because the Peiris are tachas pirkuna. We give him the benefit of the Peiris from her property, because chas v'shalom she might be taken into captivity one day, and therefore he has that extra income stream to be able to redeem and ransom her if that were to occur. Okay, so the din of Peiris is Rabbana. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that she has to go and give the Peiris of her next day. But look, the way of the Rabbana is Chizik, but then you don't find the Chizik. Did not read the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, same Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda oim ala oilam hu oichel Peiris, achi yichdav la, din udvarim, ein li minachasayich, ube Peiris seyim, ube Peiris, Peiris seyim, at oilam. First of all, what's the definition of Peiris? Peiris, Rashi explains, you have the Nechsimuluk. Nechsimuluk typically was a field. That field, Baruch Hashem, produced a lot of nice tvua, or peiros, or vegetables. Those are considered to be the fruits of the land. Those are the peiros of the Nechsimuluk. What happens if there were so many peiros that year? They sold those peiros, were able to get a nice amount of $1,000, or whatever, and they took that $1,000 and they bought a new piece of property with that money. And that property is now producing its own payers. So that's considered payers, like grandchildren payers, if you will. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? He eats the payers and the payers, unless and until he were to write out a document. Dinu dvarim ainli, I have nothing to do with your nechasim, with your payers, with your payers. I have nothing to do with any of those. Okay, so now writing the document alone shouldn't be a problem, because we said a moment ago, Masa Masha Kasa Batoira, or Masa Masha Kasa Rabbanan, is only if it's oral. If it's a separate document, it's not a problem. So the fact that he says, I write such a document, I undermine the Takanad Rabbanan, that I'm supposed to receive payers, and I say, I'm Moichel the payers, I'm not going to take your payers, you pay your payers. That document works. That's no Chidush. It's like our Mishnah, where our Mishnah we said that she can go and write a separate document, I'm Moichel on 100. However, continue on to the Amid Beis, the Kaim Alon, that when Rabbi Yehuda said, Koisim, my Koisim, it means Oimer, says Taprashi, my Koisim, Oimer, Alma Tanoi Tanoi. He doesn't even have to write out a document. He can tell her orally, we're going to get married, and I agree to waive my rights to the Peiris and the Peiris. That Tanoi works. I, the Takana Peiris of Mandrabanan. How can we master al masha omru rabbanon? Omru Abayi says, I have an answer for you. La kol yesh ksuba. Every chus and kala is always a ksuba. At the very least, we want to give one distinguished rabbi a kibbut under the chuppah, so we have to have a ksuba for them to go and read. That's not the real reason. But nevertheless, you have to have a ksuba. How al the kol yesh peiris? Not every chos and kala are zoicha to have a wealthy kala where she gets nechse maluk from her father, from her grandfather, and produces peiros. There are many kalas that unfortunately are just regular kalas that have no estate, have no trust, have no presents, no nadin from their father, grandfather, so no peiros. Now it's a shrikar to Rabban Chizik, something that happens on a daily basis. Every chasm, you always have a ksuba, therefore the Chum said, don't be masna, don't make any tanoim. If you make any tanoim, you're undermining this whole dindra banan, therefore us because of the brain. Milzad lechicha, are you talking about peiris? This doesn't happen every day of the week, it happens occasionally. But the Rabban Chizik, they felt, in this case, if you're masna, it's okay, you don't undermine our takonat rabbanan, because it doesn't happen on a frequent basis anyway, it's only once in a while. Yes?
You said peiros are kineged perkuna, ransoming her if she's kidnapped.
Right.
So, in the case of he waives it, is he also waiving his responsibility to ransom her?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it, become unfortunate.
And in the case of there is no peros, does he have responsibility? Because now we're entering a whole new thing. There's no peros. Mm-hmm. But those peros that she's kidnapped, mm-hmm. is he off the hook? Can say, well, they can keep
very
her?
Very good question. It's not our sugi. We'll have to wait. Mit Shem, it's Zion. Zion is the common pei gimel. So Mit Shem pei gimel. Hopefully, Gemara will address it at that time. But the Gemara today just goes into the idea that it's a rabbanon. You see that in the chizik says the Gemara because it happens infrequently. Zok the Gemara yet. Bahari chamorim, the famous case of the donkey drivers. The shchicha, this happens all the time. So of the rabbanon chizik nechum didn't say we're making chizik the frame. What's the case of the donkey driver? So we had this again before. Ditnan state in the Mishnah. Hachamorin shenichnasu liir v'yomer echem mehen shali chodosh v'shal chaveri yashar shali ein b'sukkah v'shal chaveri b'sukkah ein ne'eman. What is this all about? You have two donkey drivers. Each one of them is not only driving donkeys, but they also have on the back of the donkeys huge amounts of food which they're selling in the market. And they have, for instance, Lamazong, they have tzvua. And one is selling, both are selling the same wheat. However, when they get into town, let's just call them Yankel and Beryl, Yankel tells all people that are coming to his stand or coming to his chamar, he says, my tzvua is really good, but if you really want something special, go over to Beryl. Beryl's stuff is top of the line. I know Beryl for many years. He is AAA grade. Mine is AA, his is AAA. I recommend you go to him. My tzvu is chodesh, it's brand new, which is considered to be a chisaroi, because you cannot go and use it now to make flour and to bake cakes and challahs and bread, because you have to wait until it dries out. Shechaber Yoshim, my mind, his is already nice, dried out, sun-dried, organic, it's really top of the line. It's a vegan approved and all the rest.
Chodesh Nyashin doesn't refer to Chodesh Tfuah Omer, the Matir?
Rashi suggests that and then Rashi dismisses it.
Okay.
Rashi asks your Kasha, but he dismisses it. If you look at the, let's start the Rashi in the beginning. Shali Chodesh, the third line. Yeah. By Yashin Taimi Menu. Old is better than new. Shah Chodesh Adayin Eni Yavish Kol Tzarchi, because it's still moist, it's not fully dry. If you want to buy new tvua, it would cost you four. The yishonas mishonas, yishonas, however, were more expensive, and therefore you can only, here you got four to the dollar, and here you only got three to the dollar. So therefore the yishonas, you see, is better quality.
Right.
Like you're saying. Why the kingdom of Taris, but my kilo, that would be a good Taris, but my. But oymer is the rice, and therefore the choyra won't have nothing to do with that. Anyway, ayin shom, but it's a good try. That's Rashi's kasha, yeshakoyach. We're getting back to our Gemara now. The Shulchanim, Shul Yashin, he's trying to praise Yankel. Yankel is praising Beryl. Tzvua and says, ah, top of the line. Moreover, on a religious basis, his is also better. You know why? Because I'm an Amoret, he's a shtikl Talmud Chochem, as Nisha's a groisa Amoret like I am, and therefore Shuli ain't a misukin. My Tzvua, you can't rely on. It's Tamai, and you're going to have to go and give Mises over again. I saw him, he does it meticulously. The Truma met the Maser Rishon and the Maser Shiny and the third year gives Maser Oni and he, the Levi makes sure to give Trumas Maser and hey, he does a wonderful job, he's great. So Timara ain't the money. We don't believe Yankel when he attests to Pharaoh. Rabbi Yehuda says he is believed. What's the Machloikim Timtanakam Rabbi Yehuda or the Chashinon Ligoimlin? What means Goimlin? This is a mutual admiration society. That here, Yankel in this town, he's here in Manhattan, he says, Beryl's stuff is the best. Everybody's going to go to Beryl. Then when they get to Brooklyn, Beryl's going to say, ah, Yankel's stuff is really, really great. And everybody's going to Yankel. So there's going to be a mutual admiration. You come here.
Long-rolling.
Long-rolling?
The same rule, they work together, they synchronize.
I'm not familiar with the expression log rolling.
It's usually when critics praise each other's books and book reviews.
Okay. Isn't it a political term, like in Congress, the log roll?
I don't know, but I've seen it used in terms of critics. This one praises his book, and this author praises his book.
Perfect.
It's the same thing called log rolling. They're spinning the same log.
Gotcha. So this is according to Tanakam, ain't the money because I'm afraid of this log rolling. I'm afraid of that
mutual benefit.
Exactly.
Collusion.
Collusion. Oh, even better. Collusion. A conspiracy to go and fool and to deceive the consumer. Yankel says about Beryl, and the next town Beryl says about Yankel. Ain't a money. Yehuda says, I'm not concerned. So now, what's the Shaila? Since we're talking about the same Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have the Rabbanons, and the Chacham also Chizik Levrei. Now, what is the Rabban over here? The Rabban over here is the Shaila of Demai. Demai we know is only midrabban. Minat Torah roi v'amaretz ma'asrim. Hey, so midrabban lecham said, but to be on the safe side, you have to go and give ma'aser once again if you bought tefuah from an amaretz. Ah, so it's rabban. So why didn't they do chizik? They should have said we're concerned about goyimlin. That maybe Yankel will say about Meryl, Meryl will say about Yankel, and will be on a roll, especially in a log roll. And but it's not true. The whole thing is a bluff. The whole thing is just each one puffery about the other guy to be able to make sales. And we see Rav Yehuda didn't make a chizik by Rabbanon. Om Rabbi Yivada Devrayim Avdu Rabbanon Chizik. So the Devrayim we have the Rabbanon Chizik. In the case of the Omer Aleph, when we're talking about a ksuba, when we're talking about Peirois, then you're talking about Inyonim, which are a Dover Vadai, meaning you're talking about a ksuba, you have to go and give $200. The Chacham said, and you better give $200. If you're going to try to be Masna under the chuppah and say to the Kala, by the way, it's only going to be 100, not going to be 200. Okay, I consent. I'm asking. Then you're undermining, and the Chacham also chizik divrayim, yoyis mishal Torah, and you can't undermine it by having such a knife. However, that's by a vali divrayim. Here we're talking about tamai. Tamai by definition is a suffix. That's why tamai is do mai. I don't know what the status is. Did they give ma'aser? Did not give ma'aser? When it comes to the Rabbanan, they're on Chizik there. They said, since it's only Rabbanan anyway, it's only Rabbanan, then therefore I'm not Cheshin the Goblin, not a problem. But Rava Omer b'Demai Akilu, they were maker by Demai. Now, what's the difference between Rava and Abaya? It sounds like the same. So if you look at the Rashi, about two lines higher, b'Demai Akilu, Mishar Sofik the Devrei, but philosophic Leisei, Rava Ma'oritz Ma'asrunei. What Rav is saying to Abaye is, your distinction between Vade and Tzafik is an excellent distinction. But even in Sveikis itself, you can distinguish between a real big Tzafik with a capital Samach and a Shvach Tzafik with a small little Samach. It could be that even by a big Tzafik, maybe they also did Chizik. But here it's not even a Tzafik, because what's the percent? Roy Vam Oris Masrinhei. Normally you would think it's 51 against 49. According to Rav, it sounds like it's more like 95 against 5. It's only a very small percentage of Amoratim that don't give Ma'aser. So it's not even considered to be a Safik. It's a Kemat Kunish. It's almost like a Chumrah, if you will, a Hidur Mitzvah. It's not a real big, big bona fide Safik. In such a case, the Chumrah Mekel, and they didn't add a Chizik L'Devei. Back in our mission, we had a Meir Oimekola Poiches. Whoever wants to go and be Poiches from the 200 or the 100, and not give a bona fide tzuba, then it's considered to be a bira ilas nus. Well, it's the lashon of Mishnah, harizub ilas nus. That's the lashon of Rabbeinu. So tomorrow it says kol apoyches afil b'tno al mekasover tno a bottle the isla. What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi fills in the blank over here. That why does it say the lashon of kol apoyches? Why doesn't it go and say, you see the Rashi parallel to our Gemara, kol apoyches? Midloitana kol psula she'ein lo masai v'almana she'ein lo mana harizu b'ilaslos. Why does it say poiches? Well, we know what poiches means. Poiches means to subtract or diminish or to decrease from 200 to 100. Why didn't it just go and say kol psula she'ein lo masai almana she'ein lo mana? Says Rashi shmamina the hachiyash means it's kind to tell us something. She'avu bishi goyvel b'soif. Even if at the end of the day, at the end of this marriage, she were to go and receive the entire 200 or 100, the Ein Tanoi Kayim, where the Tanai was not Mekuyim, she got her full amount. For the Hochi, Kivin de Mehikara Asni, Kori lo Be'ilas Nus, Mishun de Mishas, Bia lo Yhavasamcha Daita Aksuba. What the Gemara is telling us is, even if at the end of this marriage, in a year from now, 20 years from now, when he passes away, or gives her a gift, and he says at that time, or the Yarshim say at that time, you know, forget about the tonight, we give you a full 200, a full 100, Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of money, we give you everything. Nevertheless, I'm afraid the whole thing was still a B'ilasimus. What's the reason why? Because when she got married, she thought in her mind, oh yeah, I know what's going to happen over here. This is going to end up not such good terms. Chas V'Shalom will be a gift, and he'll have a very small financial restraint or deterrent, because not 200, it's only going to be 100, and therefore she's saying, this marriage is not starting off on a good leg. That's why it has a din of bilisness. So says the Gemara, Nochum. It says, Kol apoiches, afilu b'tano. Poiches meaning that he said, instead of 200, only 100. Afilu alma kasavar, What do I see from this? That Remeir holds Snowy bottle, the Isla, the Tanai is bottle, and she gets the full 200. The Kimin, the Omar law, Leslach Elamana, since he said to her, I'm not going to give you 200, I'm only going to give you 100. Like Rashi saying, she's not Soymech Das on this whole marriage. The Havla Bilusnus, or Bilos and Bilusnus. The whole Bilus is going to be Bilusnus. Frank Timara, Vahashamil later made the Omikol Masa Amashikos Retoira, Tanoi Bottle. Didn't he say in the Omid Aleph, if you're Masna, then the whole Tanai is Bottle? If the whole Tanai is Bottle, then why don't I go and say that this Tanai falls away?
And it's a full.
And he has to go and give the full 200.
And it's a good kosher, it's not Bilusnus.
And not Bilusnus, everything should be great. And for the Gemara, the Omikol Masa Amashikos Tanoi Bottle, Ha Bidraban and Tanoi Kaya. And now the Gemara is assuming at this point that Reb Meir agrees with Reb Yehuda on the Omid Aleph, that the Chiyuv to go and give a Ksuva is Midrabanan. And since it's Midrabanan, what did Reb Yehuda say in the Omid Aleph? That the Chacham also Chizik Devrein, Yois Mishal Torah. So even if by a Torah, Tanoi bottle, if it's Midrabanan, Tanoi Kayim, if the Tanoi is Kayim, why does the Gemara start off? Kala Poichas Afele B'Tanoi. Alma Kasama Tanoi bottle, the Isla. And the reason why it's Bilas Nos is because Loisam Chadaita. After all, it's not just because it's Smichas Das and because of that Tanai. Tanai Kayim. Tanai is in fact Mekuyim. And after 120, or after they give a get, in fact, he will not have to pay the full 200 or the full 100. And that being the case, he didn't have to say the Mishnah Kol HaPoiches. It could have said like Rashi said, Kol Psula She'en L'Masai V'Almana She'en L'Mana Arzu B'Lasnus. After the work of Sabra Meir Kasuba D'Araisa. Reb Meir argues on this point with Reb Yehuda on the Omid Aleph. He holds that the Ksuva is Diraisa. If the Ksuva is Diraisa, then Komash Shikos, if you Masa Mashikos Vatoyah, Tanai Bottle. Ah, so it's Tanai Bottle. And the reason why we have undermined this marriage, and we use the expression Kol HaPoiches, because she's not Samcha Daita. She says to herself, Ichamoyre, he's not going to go and pay the amount, and therefore, when she enters into the marriage, it's a Bilas Nuz situation.
Can you read the last piece again? If the Ksuba is Deraisa,
what do we say? Anything which is Deraisa? Said Remeir on the Amud Aleph, call a Masa, Masha, Kasa, Bateri, Tanoi Bar. He doesn't distinguish between the Sher Ksus and the Oina. He says, any Masa, Masha, Kasa, in the Tanoi is Bar. He says, he more than that is consistent with how we started off. Remei used the expression kolapoiches afilu betanah, even if he did it only in the form of a tanai, alma kasama tanoi bottle. We see that the tanai is bottle, the isla, and she gets the full amount of the 200.
Okay.
What's the reason why bilas nus? Because kibud the omar lo lestach elamana loisam chadaita. The reason is because she didn't have smichas das. She was afraid. I'm not going to get the 200. Even though she will get the 200 because Tanoi bought. So what's the reason why it's Bilas Bilas? Because of the lack of Smichas Das. Rashi said, Mishum de Mishas Bia, we have the Samcha Daita Ksuva. She said, this Ksuva is a fishy situation. I'm not going to get my full amount. And she only went into this marriage on one leg, if you so to speak. And therefore it's undermined. It's Bilas Nus. Pray tomorrow, I don't understand. Since Ramea said, only Masha Basak Vatoyer is Tanoi bought. But if it's Bidrabon and Tanoi Kayim, so then she should have known that Tanoi is fine and good. There should have been full Smichas Das. Why is it Bilas and Bilas? Because Remeir holds Ksuvah D'Oraisa. Since Ksuvah D'Oraisa, Mas Mashkos V'Torah is Tanoi bottle, and that's the reason why she said at the beginning that I'm not Soymech on it and Bilas and Bilas. Tanya Remeir Oymer, Kol HaPoichas V'Sulim Masayim Lamana, Mame Harizu Bilas Nus. Rabbi Yosi Oymer Rishoi, he's allowed to go and be Poichas. If you do Omer, like we had in the Mishnah, what's the cook of the Psula, Shtash from the side, Vikri Sevis Loi, is Kabbalti Bumcha Mana, Ula Mana Mana, Vikri Sevis Loi, is Kabbalti Bumcha Chamishim Zos. Now, it would seem that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same thing. Because Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to be Poichiz, and Rabbi Yehuda says you can be Poichiz by being Koisiv and giving that Shtar, that giving that Shoiver. So Kimara, the Sub Rabbi Yossi and Shoi, Rabbi Yossi holds that you can go and be Masna and say I'm giving less than 200 or 100. Ramini, ain oisin ksuvas isha metalklin, and they tick an oiler. You cannot go and give a ksuvas isha from metalklin, and they tick an oiler. What's the tick an oiler? And the havamina says Rashi. Maybe, number one, the metalklin will get lost, or maybe they're going to go down in value, and therefore you can't go and set aside metalklin for the ksuvas isha for those two reasons. And they tick an oiler. Amr Yosi, so Rabbi Yosi now responds to Tanakama. What's a tikkun oilam? Vala in ketuvin uboichsin. After all, metalklin, they're not fixed value. They can go down in price over time. Now, Rabbi Yosi seems to be saying the same thing that Tanakama, because the Tanakama says don't do it when they tikkun oilam, and says Rabbi Yosi, what's a tikkun oilam? This is terrible. Don't do it on metalklin because they can go down. That's what the Tanakama said.
That's the tikkun oilam that he says not to use.
Exactly. So Timora Tanakama Nami Enoisin Komar. Rabbi Yosi, listen carefully what the Tanakama is saying. Don't argue. Just say, yeah, Omer, I agree. El Avochi Komar. L'choira, the Machlokes is the following. The Medvar Mamurim, when do we say in the Reisha that don't use Metalklim and they take an oil up? Yishlei Kibbel Olav Achrayis. If he didn't go and accept upon himself Achrayis. Then what Achrayis are we talking about, says Rashi? Achrayis, if it gets lost. In other words, what the Gemara is now saying, that the Tanakama wasn't focusing on fluctuation in value, he was only focusing on the fact that metalkalin can get lost. So he said, don't put Ksuvzisha metalkalin, because over the next 20 years of marriage, this item can get lost. Therefore, not a good idea. Rabbi Yosi is now responding and saying, even if I wasn't concerned about the physical loss, I have to be concerned about the fact that it might have a loss in value because of the fluctuation. If the chosen says to the kala, if these metalkin get lost, it's okay, I will replace them. And that's fine. But Rabbi Yisroel, it still might go down in value. And he's only giving achrayis if they are lost, but not for a diminution or a decrease in value. Zok Timura, hashumahosim, the dilma pachsi. Chayish Rabbi Yosi, in the case of the metalklin, Rabbi Yosi says, I'm very nervous. They might go down. He's choishish for that. He says, don't do it. Don't do it on metalklin. Hachad Vadi Kapachsa, here, where he's Vadi Pachsa, because he's saying to her, instead of 200, you only want to give 100.
Right.
Like Koshke, shouldn't Rabbi Yosi certainly say it's prohibited?
Right.
And Rabbi Yosi says, Rishoy, he's allowed to do that. Every morning, the two cases are not the same. Hachi Hasha. Hosam, La Yoda, the Tachim. In the case of the metalklin, she doesn't know whether it's going to go up or down in value or stay the same. And so therefore, there's no way for her to be moichel in advance and to say, yeah, I'm moichel just in case it goes down in value. Because maybe it won't go down in value. Hachiyada, here she knows for sure because he tells her, I'm not giving you 200, I'm only going to give you 100. The kamachlin, she says, it's fine, I agree. Says Rabbi Yosi, that's the reason why it's Rishoy. If it's something where I know what the consequences are, and I moichel, I wave them.
She has gemira stas.
Gemira stas. Yet it's not like we said before. She's loy some chadaita, some chadas. It's fine. I agree. Then she can be moichel. But a fluctuation in price, where she doesn't know whether it will or won't, that she can't know in advance to be moichel. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosi, no good. Don't do it on metalim. They take an oilim. Do it on karka or on cash.
Rabbi Huda said 150. How low can it go? Is that the limit, or can she?
I think it's only an example. I don't think it's.
So he can say, I'm only going to give you one zuz.
Presumably.
And that'd be significant enough to.
If she gives such a document, saying that I received my zuz. Okay, but okay, Rabbi says argument, Zach is in Shkoya.